So I'm going to be doing message and worship. I think it's okay. let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence, listen to your word, and pray and worship, and just invite your presence to come. Come, Holy Spirit. We open our hearts to you, and we want to hear from you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, if we could title the EMP, like Barnabas apostrophe leadership, like Barnabas's leadership. Yeah. So I thought maybe something that I could do, since I don't preach regularly at EMP, I never know which passage to go to, so I thought maybe every time I speak, I could maybe look at a character in the Bible. Let's see if this will continue, though. You know, but I thought maybe we could do that. It's interesting. Character study in the Bible. So the first one that I wanted to do was this figure named Barnabas. So if we could turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 36 to 37. I want to look at the leadership of Barnabas, the kind of a man he was, and what kind of a leader he was, and the impact that he was able to have on people. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 to 37. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I don't know if you're familiar with Barnabas. Barnabas is the guy, which we'll look into later on. He is the guy that really stood up for Paul, or his name was Saul at the time. He really stood up for Saul when he first became a follower of Jesus Christ. And people were very afraid of him because of his past as a persecutor of the church. And so that's what he's mainly known for. But I thought we could look at some verses that describe Barnabas from the earlier passages. So here we read, his real name is Joseph, and he is from Cyprus. But the apostles called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement or son of consolation. And it says in verse 37 that he owned a tract of land and he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The first thing I want to say is Barnabas, when I look at the leadership of Barnabas, the first thing I want to say is he knew how to follow and he knew how to honor his leaders, right? He wasn't a maverick. He just kind of wanting to do his own thing, thinking of himself as someone very important and kind of demanding a position or demanding some kind of respect or something. You could see him. He genuinely wants to bless and follow and honor the leadership at the time, the apostles. And so he sells his land, brings all the money. So I think, that's very important, that as a leader, he knew how to also be a follower, and he knew how to follow well, he knew how to lead, and he knew how to honor, and be respectful to his leaders. And the second thing I want to look at is the apostles called him son of encouragement. The apostles called him son of encouragement. There must have been something so unique and special about his encouragement, right? That must have just exuded out of him all the time for the apostles to say, out of all the names they could have given him, they called him son of encouragement. So I want to ask us, what would your spiritual nickname be? We have many nicknames, but let's say, if you were to be given a spiritual nickname, what would they call you? You know, I imagine someone like Juanita, we already call her this, she would be prayer warrior, right? Someone like Juanita who is always interceding for us. this is her main job, basically, to be an intercessor. So we would say, man, she's a prayer warrior, right? And we might call her that. We have someone in our house church. I don't want to embarrass this person, but she, whenever she shares about her relationship with God, I think what marks her relationship with God is this crazy intimacy that she has with the Father. So maybe I will call her intimate with the Father. You know, that's not a very nice, like, doesn't have a nice ring to it, but maybe I'll say, man, if I were to give you a nickname, you are intimacy with the Father. Because you're just so close to him and you just hear his voice and you are so aware of his presence all the time. Maybe I'll look at someone like Pastor Salamat and I would say he is a warrior, right? Because nothing can faze him. He just goes and runs and nothing stops him, right? And he's the hardest worker that I know in our church, right? He's a warrior for God. And this is something that I learned from Pastor Bob Sorge when he was here. He was talking to the worship team that one of the jobs we have to do as a worship team is to be a carrier of his presence, of God's presence. And maybe I will look at Pastor Bob and I would say, man, if I could give him a nickname, maybe he would be carrier of God's presence. Because just the way he worships and honors God. And someone like Mother Teresa, you know, or maybe if in our church context, maybe someone like Janella, we could say defender of the poor, you know, because we know that they have a heart for the poor and the oppressed. So what would your spiritual nickname be? You know, and I think if your nickname could be Son of Encouragement in some way, even to some degree, if your nickname could partially be Son of Encouragement, that would be a great nickname. You know, that would be a great honor to be said, man, you're such an encourager. And people see that in you. So, so this is Barnabas. And I believe Barnabas was able to offer encouragement and consolation to others because he saw people with a prophetic vision. Right? He saw people prophetically, meaning he didn't see a person for who he was in the past. And he didn't see that person just for who he was in the present. But he saw that person for who he or she was going to become in the Lord. Right? When he saw a person, he didn't just see that person for who that person was right now at the moment, or knowing all of their past, but he could see with a prophetic vision and see the potential, right? This person is going to become someone in the Lord, right? And he had a prophetic vision. So that's why when he sees Paul or Saul, who was a persecutor of the church, recently converted to Jesus Christ, and everyone's afraid of him, he doesn't see him just for his past or just for who he is now, maybe still a little abrasive, still a little bit fierce, but he could see Paul and see, man, he's going to be an amazing leader for the Lord and for the church. So let's go to Acts chapter 9. I have a few more passages that I want to read just to study the life of Barnabas. Acts 9, 19 to 27. And he took food and was strengthened. This is Saul. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." All those hearing him continued to be amazed, and they were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But the disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. And when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. So when Saul becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, immediately he begins to preach at Damascus. And at Damascus, people don't know. I mean, people know his reputation as a persecutor of the church. So they are surprised that he's preaching Jesus, but it's not like there were a lot of disciples there. So they're not like shunning him and afraid of him. The Jews, rather, are more annoyed that he is preaching the gospel of Jesus. So eventually they want to capture him and persecute him. And so they send him away. And so he goes to Jerusalem because that's where the majority of the disciples were. And he wants to associate with them. But when he goes to Jerusalem, everyone is shunning him, right? No one trusts him. Maybe they think, maybe you're a spy. Maybe you're just trying to gather information about the church so that you can persecute us even further. I mean, he was well known as a persecutor of the church. And here we see Barnabas taking a risk, right? And I think because he had a prophetic vision, because he was able to not just see him for who he was and all the stuff that he had done, but he could see. And I'm reading into the text a little bit, but maybe the Holy Spirit, you know, just revealed to Barnabas, you know, this guy is for real. And this guy, I'm using him and I'm working in his heart and I'm transforming him. And so Barnabas takes a risk to say, you know what, this guy is legitimate. You know, this guy is a legitimate follower of Jesus. Let's embrace him. Let's receive him into our fellowship. So that's what Barnabas does. And so without Barnabas, maybe there would be no Paul. You know, without Barnabas, there would be no Paul. And Paul is such a central figure for us right now as Christians. And he has written, I mean, more than half of the New Testament, or maybe not, maybe that's an exaggeration, I don't know. A lot of the New Testament is written by Paul. But without Barnabas, there wouldn't be a Paul. Maybe, right? Maybe God would have used somebody else. But God used Barnabas to help the church embrace Paul and to receive him. And maybe without Barnabas, Paul would have just been so bitter. Right? Maybe without Barnabas, Paul would have just said, forget these guys. And he wouldn't have worked on building a good relationship with the Jerusalem church. Maybe he would have just gone off and done his own thing. And maybe we can already see that Paul has this fierce nature. If you read the book of Galatians, you see little hints of it, right? He is so annoyed at what is happening with this sect of the disciples that were saying that everybody had to follow the circumcision law. And he's quite harsh in talking about the disciples in Jerusalem. He says, I don't care who they are. You know, later on, he changes his attitude. But in the letter to the Galatians, which is his first letter, you can see his fierce nature. He's like, who they are is not important to me, but they were wrong in what they're doing, and so I'm bringing the truth. So maybe he would have just been so bitter and just said, you know, forget these guys, and he wouldn't have become the kind of leader that he is now. Maybe Barnabas perhaps was able to speak to Paul and say, hey, don't worry about it. Maybe Barnabas was able to speak truth to Paul and say, God accepts you, I accept you, and defend him so that Paul didn't have to defend himself, right? So we see Barnabas being this defender for Paul and really believing in him when nobody believed in him. And then if we read in Acts chapter 11, let's go to Acts chapter 11. Maybe I won't read the whole thing, but what's happening here is there is a group of believers now gathered in this new city called Antioch. And because the church, because of persecution, the disciples scattered, and some of them go to Antioch. Then they begin preaching the gospel, and there's a group of disciples that meet together, and they are really growing and growing and growing. And so the Jerusalem church wants to send a trusted leader there to kind of help them. And what they do is they decide to send Barnabas. Okay, so that's what's happening. And in verse 23 of Acts chapter 11. When he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, this is Barnabas, He rejoiced and began to encourage them with all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And look at verse 25. He left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So we see what Barnabas does is he's leading this group of believers now in Antioch, and a lot of good things are happening, but he seeks out Saul so that he can bring him into this fellowship. Right? And so Barnabas isn't just passive in his leadership and mentorship over Paul, right? He seeks him out. He sees this great opportunity where the church is really growing, and maybe he sees, man, Saul, if he were to come here, he would really, really grow, and he would really be effective in this place. And so he kind of seeks out Saul, and then he brings him into this church. And this church, Antioch, is really where Paul begins to, I guess, blossom in his leadership, right? This is where he gets sent out from on his three missionary journeys, and he really rises in his prominence through this place. So maybe Barnabas saw this as an opportunity to mentor him. Maybe he saw that Paul would be the perfect fit for this church. But whatever the case, we can see that Barnabas was not afraid or threatened to lift up Paul, right? He wasn't threatened by Paul growing in his leadership, growing in his prominence. He just looked at Paul, and he just wanted him to really grow, and he wanted to give him an opportunity. And we see later on, as we read through Acts, in the beginning, when Barnabas and Paul begin traveling together, Luke will always put the name of Barnabas first. He would say, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. And at some point, that changes, and it becomes Paul and Barnabas. And there is significance to that. Luke is not just doing it arbitrarily. He's showing us who had gotten prominence and leadership in that time, but Barnabas is not threatened by it, and he's not affected by it. He's okay with, and he probably knew that as he brought Paul along that this was going to happen, and he was okay with it. And he actually, he elevated Paul so that he could become the leader that he needed to be. And lastly, in Acts chapter 15, Acts 15, verse 36 to 41. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, this is after their first missionary trip, let us return and visit the brothers in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they were. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. So what we see here in Acts chapter 15, in their first missionary journey, Paul, Barnabas had taken this guy named Mark, John Mark, who was actually the cousin of Barnabas. And in Acts 13, this character named Mark actually leaves them. In the middle of their journey, Mark, for whatever reason, must have been just, this is too hard, I can't handle it anymore, and Mark leaves Paul and Barnabas. And so in Acts 15, when they decide, hey, let's go back to these places, Paul says, heck no, I don't want to take Mark. He deserted us last time. We can't trust him. And we see Barnabas, the son of encouragement, at work again. Right? Barnabas says, hey, come on. Let's take Mark with us. Let's give him another chance, basically. Again, Barnabas is operating with a prophetic vision. He's not looking at Mark for what he had done by deserting them. He's not only looking at Mark for maybe who he was at the time, maybe which was a fearful and weak follower of Jesus. And Barnabas is saying, no, I can see who he's going to become. And so let's take him with us. And Paul, in the end, they can't come to an agreement. They agree to disagree. Paul goes and takes Silas, goes on another journey. Barnabas takes Mark and goes to Cyprus. It's interesting that they go to Cyprus because that's where he's from. So maybe he was visiting home. Who knows what he was doing. That's really the last we hear of Barnabas. But as we read through the letters of Paul, we see that Mark had become restored and had become a great leader. Let me just read to you a few passages. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. It says, Paul says, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in service. So Paul singles out Mark and says, make sure you bring him to me, because he is useful to me in service. So this is towards the end of his career. Maybe towards the middle, beginning of his career, he says, no, I don't want to take Mark. And now later on, we see the relationship had restored, and Paul actually wants Mark to be with him. And again in Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Right? So he again mentions Mark, Barnabas' cousin Mark, and he says, if he comes to you, welcome him. So you see there is this hint of affection that Paul has for Mark. He says, make sure you take care of him. And later on in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, Peter would call Mark my son. And so Mark had been restored, and biblical scholars will agree that this same Mark who deserted them in Acts chapter 13, who Barnabas took under his wing in Acts chapter 15, is the writer of the Gospel of Mark. So without Barnabas, maybe there is no Gospel of Mark, which most scholars would agree was the first gospel that was written and used by Matthew and Luke as a reference point. So who knows what would have happened if Mark didn't write the gospel? Maybe we wouldn't have had Matthew and Luke. Maybe we would only have the gospel of John. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of impact that Barnabas had through his leadership. And now we will credit Paul as maybe the greatest missionary who wrote, I don't know, half of the New Testament and really brought the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we would credit Mark as the first gospel writer, but behind them both was this figure Barnabas who could see these two people for who they were going to become, and he encouraged them and he backed them up and he defended them and he fought for them and he elevated them. So I have two reflection points. One is, well, maybe three. One is, have you had a Barnabas in your life? You know, I guess for me, definitely Pastor Sam. I was just a very weak, very young boy when I first came to SP. And more than 10 years ago is when I first became a pastor here. And I think I was like 24, 25. And I look at the 24, 25-year-olds at our church now, and I go, oh, I can't believe that I was this young when I became a leader in the church. But Pastor Sam took me under his wing, and I guess he saw me for what I was going to become. That sounds arrogant too, but anyway, you guys know what I mean. And so is there a Barnabas in your life? Let's thank the Lord for that Barnabas. And then the obvious second point is, can you be a Barnabas to somebody else? Right? Is there a Saul or a Mark in your life where people are, maybe they have kind of rejected that person or kind of written that person off, you know? Maybe people around that person are saying, he's just a nobody, or he or she will always be like that. She will never overcome this. Maybe if you can ask the Lord, God, help me to see that person the way you see that person, and then move in that way. And the third reflection point is, you might feel like a Saul or a Mark. You know, you might feel like, man, I just failed. Or, I mean, I was a persecutor of the church, and I did all these things, and nobody really accepts me, and I don't have any impact or authority right now. But there is a Barnabas. There is always a Barnabas in your life, and that is Jesus Christ. Right? He always will see you with his prophetic vision. I mean, he's your creator, and he knows exactly who you're going to become and the potential that you have. And he's never going to give up on you. Right? And so even though you may not have a physical Barnabas in your life, you always have a Barnabas in Jesus Christ who's always encouraging you and walking with you. So let's take those three points and just reflect, and I'll lead us in a song. Let's do the song, Make Me a Servant. Sing this song together. Make me a servant. Prayer of
today. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing into our lives Barnabas's, God, that encourage us to be more than we think that we can be. And I thank you that, Jesus, that you are always a Barnabas to us, God, that you're always encouraging us. And I just pray right now, I want to give you a time. Maybe you can ask the Holy Spirit, is there anyone that I can be a Barnabas to? Is there anyone that I can encourage and help them believe in themselves and to not lose heart? And is there anyone that I can defend in front of others so that they don't have to defend themselves and they can really become, realize the full potential that God has for them? So let's just spend just a few moments just asking the Lord to show us if there's anyone like that in our lives. Pray for those that are going through cancer or chemo radiation therapy. If you could pray for Calvin and Alicia, please. They have to make some decisions on what treatment option to take for Calvin, and some pretty significant decisions to make. So let's pray for them, for guidance and for God's presence over them. Let's pray. Pray for people in our community that are ill, but they also need salvation. You know, let's pray that God's that their eyes will be opened to see the mercy of God, and so that they can give themselves to the Lord and really receive healing, not just physical, but for their soul as well. So let's pray for our community. Thank you. happening in our church. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for Singapore with Andrew Singapore and Pastor Sam Kim. Let's pray for Indonesia and for Spin, Pastor Salaman, and also the place that we visited just maybe a month ago where there was the earthquake. Let's pray for the churches that Pastor Salaman visited for encouragement over there. And let's also pray for the U.S., New York, and also for Kelly, our Kelly Kraft, our YWAM, the missionary that recently, I don't think she's there in the States yet, but she's going to be moving to the States to do ministry there. So let's pray for these three places. Pray for the education ministries, all three, Noah's Ark, SB Youth, and SBU, for us to do a good job, and for the children, for the students from a young age to really encounter God, and to love God, and to have a personal relationship with God. Let's pray. Prayer and Healing Ministries, IP Team, and the Well and River. Pray for Matt and Rachel as they lead these ministries. Let's pray for strength for them. Let's pray for real anointing that a lot of power and healing would come forth from these ministries. Let's pray together. Pray for our Thursday outreaches. There's SP Light and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for anointing and power. It will be a very good and meaningful time of reaching out to our community around us. pray for our house church's meeting this week. Let's pray for a very good time of discussion and worship and fellowship. Let's pray. Pray for our Metro Manila mission trip. Just pray for continued protection and anointing, joy and strength to fill them up and for them to be effective in their ministry. Let's cover the team, Team Unity. Pray for Ashley and Janice as they lead this trip. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your encouragement to us, God. And help us to see, God, if there's anyone that you are highlighting to us, God, may it be an encouragement to them, God. May it be a Barnabas to them, God, to really help them and fight for them, God. So I pray that you'll lead us. And give us strength this day, Lord. We want to honor you and praise you and glorify you today, God. So be with us. We thank you. We praise you and we worship you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a great day today. God bless you guys.
How to be a love like that when all the love